Well, good day, friends. Welcome to the program, The Ministry on Me on Radio Pulpit, your companion in the search for meaning. I'm your host, Dr. Dion Foster, and it's always such a joy to be able to share with you in these programs every 2 weeks. And thank you once again to all the listeners who've made contact over the last little while. I do try and get to your emails as quickly as possible. And just to remind you, if you'd like to drop me an email, you're welcome to do so. Just send it to digitaldion@gmail.com. That's digitaldion@gmail.com. And then also just to mention, if at any stage during any of the programs during the day, you're wanting to reach someone, maybe to speak to them about a particular issue or to ask for some prayer, you can do so by phoning the Pretoria telephone number of Radio Pulpit on 012-334-1320. That's 012-334-1320. Now, friends, today we're wanting to talk about a subject which is so critically important to every Christian person, and that's the understanding and notion and some of the biblical insights that we can gain on making our relationships work, finding ways to not only be blessed in our relationship with others, but also to be a blessing to them. And particularly today, I'm wanting to talk about the relationship between a husband and wife. You know, it's one of the truest things that one of the first places where the devil is going to attack you and try and wear you down is in your marriage relationship with those who are closest to you. I think all of us can testify to the fact that when a relationship goes well, it brings us life. But when things are not going well, boy oh boy, it can be a little bit of a challenge, and we can find ourselves very easily sapped of energy and our ability to live and function freely. Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm sure you do. Now, there's a wonderful, wonderful passage that speaks about the very foundation of true Christian relationships. And it comes to us from 1 Corinthians 13. And I want to read to you from Eugene Peterson's Message translation of 1 Corinthians 13. Listen to this. He says, "If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word in power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't have love, I am nothing. If I give everything that I own to the poor, and even go to the stake to be burnt as a martyr, but I don't have love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I am bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. It doesn't have a swelled head. Love doesn't force itself on others. Love is always, first in line. Love doesn't fly off the handle. Love doesn't keep a score of the sins of others. Love doesn't revel at when others grovel. Love pleases with the flowering of truth, and it puts up with anything. Trusts always in God, always looks for the best and never looks back, but keeps on going to the end. True love never dies." Now, that's a wonderful, wonderful encouragement and admonition. And you know, whenever I read that and I think about my own marriage to Megan, we've been married for 17 years, I think, boy, oh boy, I still got some growing to do. And Megan and I have a wonderful Christian marriage, but there are always little issues that one can pick up on where you're not quite perfect. How about you? Are there little things in your relationship that you know are not quite perfect, that don't quite bless your partner or please them, or that don't please God more importantly? Well, hopefully today you'll get a few insights that'll help you with that story in love. You know, God desires for us to have true and blessed relationships. God has created us to be in relationship. In Genesis 1, we read that we are created in the image of God, and we know that God is a relationship of three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so there's something hardwired into us that longs to be in a true, good, and blessed relationship. And when things are not going well, we know that we are not fulfilling a part of our destiny. So the importance of good, healthy, and blessed relationships cannot be underscored enough. And we all know how important good relationships are for bringing us life or how bad relationships can ruin our lives. You know, I recently read that the Presbyterian Church in Ireland republished their hymn book, and they accidentally carried over the last hymn from the funeral section, and it became the first hymn in the wedding section. And I wonder how many brides or grooms chose this hymn for their wedding. Go, happy soul, your wandering days have ended. You see, the reality is that God desires for our love relationships, and particularly our marriages, to be something that brings us true life. It is God's will and plan for us to be in relationships, and it's God's will and plan that those relationships with our spouse will bring us joy and blessing and God's fullness. So we need to find ways in order to make our relationships work. Now, it would seem that from the example of a good and godly relationship that we read about in 1 Corinthians 13 today, there's one principal element that sets aside Christian relationships. Here it is. Listen to this. It's not what we try and get out of our relationship or marriage that makes it work. Rather, it is what we are willing to put into it that makes it work. You know, Jesus' relationship with his Father is characterized by the fact that he gives himself freely to God, that he seeks to be obedient to his Father, to love him, to honor and bless him. And the same can be said for someone like Paul and his relationship to Jesus and the church. He seeks to bless it, to serve it, to find ways to enrich its life. And through that, he finds joy and blessing. So today I want to share with you just three habits that you could begin to cultivate in order to make your relationship with your husband or your wife more significant, more blessed, more full. Now, the first habit that I want to encourage you to begin to practice is habit number one of being proactive. And the truth is, we are proactive when we love each other. Now, being proactive means that instead of reacting to life and circumstances, we are proactive towards each other. We act first. Now, this is a very challenging thing for most of us to do. You know, I know very few people who are proactive in their lives. Let me ask you a quick little test. How many of you bought most of your Christmas presents and Christmas cards before November last year? And how many people were still shopping for Christmas presents in that last week just before Christmas? Well, here's another topical one. How many of us listening today are keeping a logbook of our driving for tax purposes, or keep all those receipts in a special place? And how many people will create their logbook at the end of February in the hope that they can fulfill the requirements for tax? You see, to be honest, there are very few of us who are proactive about many things. Why? Well, simply because proactivity demands energy. It demands a measure of planning. It causes us to think ahead of what we are facing and asks us to do more than just react to what's happening around us. Now, if we can't be proactive about everyday things, those things that are not difficult at all, I wonder how many of us can be proactive about the subtle and difficult things that we face, like our relationships. You know, it amazes me that people would put together the energy and the sacrifice and the time to plan all sorts of things that don't really matter. For example, I know people who've started saving for a holiday, or have started putting money aside, or who are studying for a better job. Some people are planning all sorts of things that don't really matter. But friends, how many of us are setting aside the time and the energy in order to plan for one of the most significant things in our lives, something that is incomparable to a 1 or a 2 week holiday? Planning for our relationships. Now, I can guarantee you that if you were to say to yourself, I'm going to become proactive about my marriage rather than reactive, that I'm going to set aside time and energy in order to plan for love, I can guarantee you that you'll see a change in your relationship with your spouse. You know, I read something interesting recently that says love is not a feeling, it's a verb, it's an action, it's something that we do with our lives. In 1 Corinthians 13 verse 4 to 7, we read that love is, love does, love does not. Did you notice that all of these are actions? Now listen to what Paul says in verse 4. He says, love is patient, love is kind, Love does not envy. Love does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love delights in what is truthful and not in what is evil. Love protects. Love trusts. Love hopes. Love perseveres. Can you see that love is a verb? It's something that we have to do. Now, I want to say that there are two B's about being proactive in your Christian love life, your relationship with your spouse. The first thing that I want to say is that you need to be intentional. Be intentional about truly loving your spouse. You know, when things are left to themselves, they eventually break down. Like parking a car in the middle of the veld and letting the elements wash it. When you come back in 10 or 15 years, it'll be rusted, the tires will be rotted, and nothing will be left of it. But when you are intentional about your vehicle and you wash it and you polish it and you change the tires and you service it, you set aside time to plan and care for it, you know that it can last forever. Now, I want to encourage you, have a dream for your relationship. Ask God to show you how you can grow and develop the relationship that you have with your spouse by next year this time. Why not set a longer term dream to say, in 5 or 10 years' time, this is where I would love to be with my partner. Maybe there are one or two things that niggle in your relationship that you really need to be intentional about sorting out. Maybe you need to see a counselor or speak to someone or ask for some advice or plan to get out of some kind of financial pressure so that you can be free. Write it down and make a purpose statement for your marriage and agree to do this with your partner. Remember, friends, in order to be proactive about your relationship and to truly love your partner, you'll need to be intentional. But the second B of Christian marriage is be creative. And here I really want to encourage you. Remember that it's important to love your partner not only as a wife or a husband, not only as a parent or as a lover, but to love them as a friend. You know, truly your husband or wife should be your closest friend and companion. Someone with whom you can share both sorrow and joy. Someone with whom you can have fun. And the only way to do that is to plan activities together and to use your imagination to make each other feel special. Be creative with what you can do. And gents, I want to say to you, it doesn't take very much to be creative. You know, I have to plan simple little things in order to remember to be constantly creative. Like, for example, affirming my wife and telling her how beautiful she is. I know that she's beautiful, but she needs to hear that as well. Every now and then I need to do little things like just, without even being asked to do so, just unpack the dishwasher or do the dishes or bath the kids or just do something that shows her I appreciate who she is and all that she does. You know, words can also be gifts because they build each other up. And I want to say to you, use every opportunity that you can during the day just to send your spouse a little text message or an email to say, hey, I don't know when last I told you, but you're special and I love you and you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Okay, so the first habit of a good Christian marriage, a marriage that honors God, a marriage that brings blessing as and intentional, is to be intentional about what you do. Be proactive and be creative. Okay, habit number two. This is the second habit that I want to encourage you to do. Not only must you be proactive in your marriage, but put first things first. You know, it's easy to get caught up in life and to get our priorities all mixed up and to lose sight of what truly matters. If you think your family has problems, consider the marriage mayhem created when 76-year-old Bill Baker of London recently wed Edna Harvey. Now, she happened to be his granddaughter's husband's mother. Now, that's where the confusion begins. Listen to this. According to Baker's granddaughter, Lynn, she said, "My mother-in-law is now my step-grandmother, and my grandfather is now my stepfather-in-law. My mom is my sister-in-law, and my brother is my nephew. But even crazier is that I'm married to my uncle, and my own children are my cousins." Can you imagine something as crazy as that? You see, friends, we need to learn that sometimes we need to put first things first. And the reality is that we have to hold on to our relationships for them to be truly blessed by God. You cannot hope to create something remarkable and life-giving unless you have the power of the Creator to stand behind your relationship. And no relationship will be truly blessed unless it is not lived within the will of God. So hear me on this. Unless you are honoring God in your relationship, don't expect it to be blessed. God longs to bless you, but God cannot bless something which is sinful. I once had a guy, when I was pastoring a church, come to me and said, "Dion, do you think it's God's will that I should cheat on my wife?" My answer in retrospect was not as loving as and as restrained as it should be from a pastor. You know, what I really wanted to say to him is, "Do you think it's God's will that I should tie you to the bumper of my car and take you for a little drive down the highway?" You see, we cannot expect God to bless anything that's not godly. You have to put God first in your relationships. And the reality is that there are very few relationships in which God truly is first. And yet we're surprised when they don't succeed and they fall apart, when they lose their way, when their priorities go all wrong. Friends, it's not right to be in a relationship that is not blessed by God. You know, we forget sometimes that it's an incredible privilege to love and an even greater privilege to be loved. And when last did you stop to think that the person that you are in your marriage with gave their life to you? I mean, that's one of the most incredible things, when I think that Megan could have married anyone in the world, and yet she chose to marry me. And this is something that we must deal with great sensitivity and great care. You know, the Bible tells us that when we learn to love, we experience joy. 1 John 4 verse 19 says, "We love because God first loved us." And our capacity to truly love and to get the most of it out of our love from others comes from being truly loved by God. Now, in the New Testament, there are a couple of Greek words that describe love. There's eros, which is physical or sexual love. Then there's phileo, which is friendly or brotherly love. And lastly, and most importantly, there is agape, which is the unconditional, safe, inclusive, accepting love. You see, eros is based on attraction, whereas phileo is based on common interest, friendship, or a family tie. But agape is based on the reality of simply loving someone in spite of who or what they are. You know that saying, "Only a mother can love him"? That gives us a little insight into agape love. A mother loves her son regardless. Now, there is the kind of love that we need to cultivate first, is agape love. Now, it amazes me that couples are willing to grow in eros. They're willing to share with one another physically in an intimate manner, to have sex. Some of them are even willing to share in phileo. They grow closer emotionally and they begin to share their relationship with one another and their interests. But I wonder how many couples are willing to grow together in agape, in a deep spiritual accepting sense. You know, often when I counsel couples for marriage, say to them, "Do you pray together about your relationship?" And very few couples do. And I want to encourage you today, put God first in your relationship. Take the time to grow together, not only physically and not only emotionally, but grow to a deep level of intimacy that can only come through growing together spiritually. Commit yourselves to praying together. Commit yourselves to reading the scriptures together. Commit yourselves to holding one another accountable and encouraging each other in your spiritual lives. Now, there are two gives that make your relationship work when you are putting first things first. So remember when we said you need to be proactive, there were two B's: be intentional and be creative. Now, in putting things first, there are two gives that you need to pay attention to. Firstly, you need to give your attention to your spouse. This means a few things. First, you must give your relationship attention, and of course you must bring it into your faith life. But it also means that you must give attention to what God wants in your relationship. If there is anything in your relationship that's not of God, you need to confess it, you need to turn from it, and you need to start over. Now, if your partner is not a believer, you can tell him or her that you're doing this because you want it to work. Not to have premarital sex, or choosing not to lie to one another, or not to break down abusive and destructive habits can only lead to struggle and hardship. But it takes attention to make your relationship work. And so give it the attention that it deserves, particularly the godly attention. The second give that you need to get into is give your relationship priority. Now, friends, I know of so many people who simply put their relationship on the back burner. They prioritize their work, they prioritize their fun, they prioritize their sport, they prioritize their spending. But how many people actually prioritize their relationship? And I want to say to you, think about your week. Think about the time that you spend with your spouse. Quality time, not time sitting next to each other facing the TV, not time rushing around with other people. But when last did you have a date night with your spouse, with your wife or husband, just the two of you? Find someone to look after your kids and really just have a chance to chat and connect and be with one another. Your relationship is important. It's important to God and it's important to you. So give it your priority. So that's the second thing that I want to say. Of the three habits, the first one, if you'll remember, is be proactive. And remember, we said that there are two B's, be intentional and be creative. The second habit is to put first things first. And we said there that there are two gives, give your relationship attention and give your relationship priority. Now, the final thing that I want to say is that the third habit you need to develop is the habit of sharpening the saw. Now, sharpening the saw means you need to take time to renew your marriage. You know, a saw that becomes blunt becomes useless to the person who needs to use it to cut wood. And the same thing happens in our relationships. Sometimes we just use our relationships in a very utilitarian manner. We just use them in order to feel blessing and feel a place of belonging. But how much time do we take to really sharpen the saw, to get it ready for the task that it was intended to fulfill? You know, I heard a wonderful little story that illustrates this about Van and his wife who went to see the doctor. And Van wasn't well, and so the doctor checked him out and called Mrs. Van aside and said, "Mrs. Van, I need to say to you that your husband's not well, and if he's going to survive his stress and his illness, you have to remove all stress from his life." And she said, "Well, what does that mean?" The doctor says, "Well, you need to give him 3 home-cooked meals every day. You must choose never to argue or disagree, and you must be available for love and romance every day of the week." Anyway, as they were driving home from the doctor, Van turned to his wife and he said, "So, darling, what did the doctor say to you?" She looked at him with love in her eyes and she said, "Sweetheart, the doctor said you're not going to make it." Now, I wonder how many of us get into that place with our relationships. We're afraid to truly give ourselves over because we're afraid that we'll be taken advantage of. Now, in order to sharpen the saw, you do need to take care of yourself. And that's the first thing. There are two takes that sharpen the saw. First of all, take time for yourself. It's important to remember that you are important. And so you must have some little space or some little interest that helps you to take time for yourself, that makes you pleasant and a blessing to be around, and that allows you to bless your spouse. But the second thing that I want to say is that in order to sharpen the saw, you need to take initiative. Don't fall into the reactive trap. Don't wait for your partner to initiate things and always make them happen. You know, if you're listening to this message today and your partner is not, then I guess that God is looking to you to sharpen the saw of your relationship, to take the initiative to fix things up, to deal with the challenges and to make something happen. You know, it was your partner that God was thinking about when he brought the two of you together, and you. And so God wants to use you to make this relationship a blessing. So today we've heard three things. We've heard that relationships are critical to God and that they can bring us life and joy and blessing, and that we were created to be in relationships, and that as Christians our marriages are central to the will of God for our lives, and that there are three things that we need to do in order to make these relationships work. Firstly, we must be proactive. Secondly, we must put God and first things first. And thirdly, we need to sharpen the saw. Well, friends, I want to say to you, please know that I'm praying for you in your marriage. And if you ever want to reach out and just have someone to contact and just speak about something you may be facing in your relationship, why not phone the Radio Pulpit Counseling line on 012-334-1320. That's 012-334-1320. And if you'd like me to pray with you for something, then why not drop me a line on email? You can reach me at digitaldion@gmail.com. That's digitaldion @gmail.com. And I promise to pray for you, and I ask you, please continue to pray for me and for Megan and for our children, Courtney and Liam. Well, you've been listening to Dr. Dion Foster, and this program is called The Ministry in Me. And I pray that you'd have a blessed day further. Goodbye.